Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Corey and Kevin Talk About Nothing. If you're tuning in for the first time,
I'm Corey.
I'm Kevin, and welcome to our podcast talk show.
Welcome, welcome. Hello, yes. And hello.
On this wonderful episode, we're going to be talking about Season 4, Part 2 of Ozark. And actually just Ozark in general.
Yeah.
Because my God, they did it. They wrapped it up. And
yeah, and I'm just going to assume we're going to say spoiler alerts here.
Oh, so there's definitely spoiler alerts going off.
Exactly. So if you do not, have not watched or finished the season, don't.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, like, I am late. So if you have not watched it, by the time this thing is going to air, nobody can help you. So, yeah, I think, I mean, we can allude to things because we know what has happened. So we don't have to, like, go into depth on certain details. But I'm not going to lie, I'm probably going to spoil a lot.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to try not to. I'm not going to, like, go, I'm not going to tell you the whole entire story or, you know what I mean?
Right.
But at the same time.
Because I'm specifically, like, I completely understood it. But there was something that happened and I was upset because, like, I literally only wanted one outcome. And it, I love, anyways, I love the ending, but anyways, we'll get to that. So, I'm very excited we finished Ozark.
Okay. Yeah, good. Me too. I was upset I finished it last time, but it's okay.
Yeah, right. No big deal. What's crazy, though, we just talked about this a few days, and it's got to be because, like, I don't know, we must have watched The Batman and then something else the next week, and we talked about whatever that was that next week or something. Something happened, but I went through the episodes and I'm like, wait a minute, we never talked about watching The Batman?
I'm still in disbelief. I mean, I looked, I studied, I seen it, but I'm just saying, I'm in disbelief of this.
So, in some other universe, there is a missing episode that just never made it, and we talked about The Batman.
I'm telling you.
Because the only thing I could find was us talking about being excited to see The Batman. And that was it. So, yes, I figure we could take a little bit of time and express our feelings on the movie. Now, I do believe it is on HBO Max right now, right?
Yes.
Well,
So somebody else, I've not seen it personally, honestly, but somebody else told me about that.
Got it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was on there. Wonderful movie. Honestly, it was like the most realistic version of Batman, I felt, other than Michael Keaton's. I felt like Michael Keaton's was very grounded as well. But this was like, you know, your year two, but it really kind of felt like the year one Batman comics, right? And and this, like, they really focus on the detective skills, him being very smart and being able to figure out clues and using his intellect, and it's so much more interesting than run and gun, whole bunch of action, because there is action and there is some pretty sweet beatings that happen in this movie, but it's not just about that, you know what I mean? The whole pacing of this movie was incredible to me, just because it felt like you're literally just following Batman along. Like, you're a reporter and you're just following this dude around, watching what he does and just recording what he does. Cause it's just like incredibly grounded to where, like, we're right there with him. We're discovering all the clues. We're discovering more information as, you know, the movie develops.
Yes, 100%. I agree with that. 1,000%. I was gonna say something else there, but I forget. The point of being like the detective thing too. So, I was watching some videos and stuff on it, and it's funny because, I mean, don't get me wrong, you are 100% right, and I agree with your statement. But if you really think about it, like, when they put these details out there, they figured out a lot of clues and details and things like that. But at the end, you know, the Riddler.
Oh, they missed one. They missed.
Yeah,
We missed
well, the
some
Riddler,
clues.
yes, and then the Riddler literally gave himself up, right? Kind of thing. Okay,
Right.
and then at the end, the city still, kind of blows up.
Well, yeah, like they missed some clues,
I
man. That's the
mean,
problem. They
that exact.
thought they figured it out, but they weren't playing the long game, and the
It was kind
Riddler
of like,
was
so he
definitely
was playing
playing
the
the long
long
game.
game.
So yeah, all right, but still.
Yeah. Oh, don't be wrong. It was still sweet. Like he's still he's still a really good detective. See
Let's
that
see what
why I
you
wanted
would
to tell
do.
you. Well, no,
Let's see
that
what this
why I
guy would
wanted to
do.
tell
Corey,
you.
get down there
No,
on the
hey, don't. It's
streets.
not Corey. Listen, listen,
No.
listen, listen, listen.
Corey, get
No,
out there in the
see, you
streets.
won't
Get
let
out there
me.
in the night.
No, you're making this as my opinion.
I
I
know.
said I seen a guy. Don't
Yep.
put the don't
You're
put that on
repeating
my
it.
name.
You're repeating it.
Hey, Corey just did not agree with this gentleman. I just want you to know what he said, okay? All right. So it was fun. I just thought it was funny. I mean, but because at the same time, you know what I mean? You know
Oh,
that
he's
he
the world's
absolutely
greatest
missed clues.
detective. Well, he didn't get
Yeah,
this. Yeah, I mean, you're right. And nobody did. And guess what happened?
Nope.
It was pretty bad. If they just paid attention to that first weapon, right? They could
Yep,
have
exactly.
uncovered something a little bit sooner than they needed to.
But still, yeah. I mean, it's not to take anything away from the movie. I thought
Right,
it was a fun
no, because I
fact,
mean
and
it
you're
adds.
bringing it up to be the detective.
Really, it like adds like this whole other layer to the movie because what happens is it brings the Batman into the light and it shows that he doesn't have to be just vengeance, you know? And I
Yeah,
love
sure.
the way Penguin is like, "Hey, Vengeance," you know, that's like his nickname for him, you know? He doesn't
Yep.
call him the Batman or anything like that. He calls him Vengeance, and which, by the way, Colin Farrell as the Penguin
Two.
was outstanding.
Outstanding. And do you know he's getting a sideshow on that?
Yeah,
He's
I'm
actually getting
so
his own
excited,
HBO
dude.
thing. Yeah, that
He
is
was so
sweet.
good. Like, I was so
Yeah.
excited because I'm like, once you have Danny DeVito's the Penguin, Oswald Cobblepot, and you know, it's a Tim Burton, so it's a little more maybe a little more quirky, you know,
Yeah.
things like that. But realistically, like Danny DeVito's Penguin is amazing. Like he's dark, he's awful, but he plays his part and is awesome. And then this guy, and you know what's awesome is like if I didn't know that was Colin Farrell, I would have a very hard time figuring out who that actor was. You know what I mean? On screen.
Oh, yeah,
Because
100%.
they got him so like so dressed up and so
It was
again
crazy.
very grounded. Like these bad
Yes.
guys and these
Yep.
criminals and everything that's going on, very grounded. Oswald Cobblepot. I liked when he was like, "What, you guys don't speak Spanish?" And he's like it's like not la, el, you know? It's like El Rata.
El Rata.
Oh, man, that was awesome. And then, all right, so I watched it twice in theaters, and the second time, or the first time, I didn't quite kind of grasp the subtlety to this. But when the Batman and Commissioner Gordon have the Penguin and they're questioning him, and then they leave, and he's tied up with his legs and his hands. He's like, "Hey, you're just gonna leave me here?" And he's like waddling, and he's waddling like a penguin, and it like made me laugh in theaters. I'm like, "Yes, I caught something that I didn't catch the first time around." You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so it made me chuckle because I'm like, "Yep,
That's
waddling like a
funny.
penguin. I got
Yeah,
you."
because I actually picture the scene. You
Yeah,
know what I
and
mean?
he's like, "Hey, come
100%.
back!" You know, it just cracks me up. But I'm really excited about that side character just because it's like a whole. Again, it brings Gotham to life. It's like this real city. It's like
Yeah.
it's filled with these real corrupt politicians and these real things going on. Renewal is a lie, you know? Also, Paul Dano.
Oh, that's
I've always loved Paul Dano, but it's
yeah.
another reason why I love Paul Dano.
Gotcha. So that's I couldn't. I'm gonna apologize right now. I could not think of his name. I didn't want to mess it up. So when you were talking earlier,
Please bring
I had
up
to
the
pull up the
Riddler.
cast real
Yeah.
quick.
I
Yeah,
got
for
you. I
sure.
got you. Yep.
Yeah, so I'm like, hold on, just in case, let me see
Don't worry.
this.
I got
But
you. Zoe
anyway,
Kravitz
so
as Catwoman. Selena Kyle.
yeah. Well, yeah. See,
Wonderful.
I
She
knew
was
the rest
amazing.
of
Yeah.
him.
She was an excellent character that I see maybe not in the second movie, but coming back in like the third or something like that. you know,
oh, for sure.
As a grown character coming in and stuff like that.
For sure, yeah, because she moved away. I mean, you know what I mean? That's the, that was the whole, that's a whole big thing for her, you know what I mean? And I mean, she, you know, it's pretty crazy. So, but back to Paul Dano
real quick. Paul Dano.
Yes.
Let's not get distracted here.
Yeah, he's not bringing up the cast list. You're my brain goes wherever here. But anyways, all right. So Paul Dano. This is what this movie did for me. Is Paul Dano as the Riddler? Okay, it showed me his range of character. And I'm gonna tell you something. And I want to tell you this because I want to make sure I brought it up. Is do you know a movie that I'm gonna rewatch?
Swiss Army Man.
No.
I've
already watched Swiss Army Man. It's a movie called The Prisoners.
Just Prisoners. And, oh, you're going to rewatch it now? This guy.
I'm going to.
Yeah. Paul Dano is amazing.
Okay, and then this is the thing I'm going to do. I'm going to forget about the other character in the movie and stop being so worried about that character and just watch the movie in general. For some reason, it just bothered me right away. That guy. But anyways.
Poor Jake Gyllenhaal. I don't get it, man. You're nuts, anyways, dude. Yeah. Something's wrong.
No, don't bring this up. We don't want to rehash this. We'll rehash it after we watch, okay?
Go watch the episode Prisoners and you'll see. Also, you'll see Cord wrong about some trivia. About certain rings on Loki's Detective Loki's hand. Anyways, yes, Paul Dano. Like, you probably were like, "Oh wait, Paul Dano. That's the same Paul Dano in the Prisoners movie." And you're like, "Whoa, wait a minute."
Well, yeah, it just made me have respect for him, which makes me have respect more for like that character.
Dude, how are you not rewatching Swiss Army Man? I just wanted to give
Prisoners another chance. It's because I read something for some reason the movie popped up and I'm not going back to this. Something popped up.
Gone back to it, son.
Exactly. So it popped up and it was for the movie Prisoners. Okay, yeah. Whatever it was. Okay, yeah. I forget. Somehow it got brought up. Yes, all right. So all of a sudden it made me rethink about it. And then me and you had the conversation about the Batman. So then I like watched it, like, you know, I mean, some recaps. I was gonna rewatch the movie, right? It got me excited about it, and I saw Paul Dano again.
Yeah.
So then I remember how great that character was and how great he did. He did that character. Made me rethink about the Prisoners. Obviously, just got brought up. So I'm gonna give it a shot by myself and just watch the movie in totality.
And then right after that, rewatch Swiss Army Man.
Yeah, I probably will.
I'm gonna rewatch it. I love that movie.
I like Swiss Army Man. It's pretty good.
Loved. That would be. I should get a poster of that. Oh, dude. I could. Oh, anyways, let's not get on this.
No.
Paul Dano as the Riddler. All right. So, you know, we had the Jim Carrey Riddler. We've had other iterations of the Riddler, but, you know, a very like animated character where this. This was like just on a different level. You know what I mean? Riddler was really like, you know, and that's the interesting thing is the Riddler is like obsessed with the Batman. Like he's always wanting, you know, to get to him and whatever. So this kind of felt like, because, all right, so we're going to kind of, like, spoil this a little bit, right?
Yeah, wait.
All right, so, like, there's, like, an interesting scene where the Batman shows up in the interrogation room with the Riddler or you know, I can't remember his name. But what he was alluding to was, like, he knew what the Batman was, like, vengeance and whatnot, not who the Batman is, right? So he actually has not crossed the lines of knowing that Bruce Wayne is the Batman. And that was like the biggest thing, is he thought he knew. So then when he realized that, right, it's like, no, he's obsessed with the Batman. You know what I mean? So like it just was like, yeah, like that's always been the thing. And I don't know, like, I felt like it was just really done so well because, like, it alludes to so many things, to, like, such a bigger scenario. And then you have a culmination, And then, like, that's not it. That's not where it stops. Him getting caught was just, like, a joke. Another riddle. You know what I mean? Like, so it just was, like, this way darker version of the Riddler, you know? And it was,
was
incredibly well done. And then just to say, like, I think, like, in these times where, like, social media and groups and, you know, how certain things spread, it's just like, you know, the Riddler going online and streaming and talking to these groups and then getting these people to participate. I mean, that these are real world scenarios, right? Like, this is a very grounded, very realistic thing, and like, that's what made this movie so much greater. It felt like there are real consequences, there's real things happening. One of the greatest scenes in the movie is when the Batman is walking into the crime scene and all the cops are looking at him like and all this stuff. And there's two ways that this can go down, right? In the real world, when somebody's going to start dressing up as a superhero and act like in real life, like if this were to like really happen, like people would be like, that person's not mentally right. And it's true, right? Like they're going out in a whole nother identity. They might not be like, they may be a darker version of whatever, like, and that's like what this really kind of gave us. Like, it didn't give us like this goofy feel of like, hey, look at this freak like showing up in a bat costume. No, it like gave us like, oh my God, I have chills because like this freak is in front of me in a bat costume. You know what I mean? Like,
seriously,
like, like it's more terror than it is like, like comical. And they did that perfectly, setting the tone of like having this be a real character introduced into the city. He's newer. He's causing a ruckus. He's not like, you know, putting people in jail necessarily. He's beating them senseless, you know?
Yeah.
I just love the way they did that. Sorry if I kind of went off a little bit, but that it's just like a really great scene of what, how it demonstrates like the Batman existing in this real world scenario. And you know, like, and if this guy's coming around, you know, I mean, that's like the beauty of how this Bruce Wayne was played to me as well. Is like, he's like, what, early 20s or maybe, you know, I don't exactly know, maybe 21 or something like that. I don't really remember. But, like, he's dark and brooding, and, like, who wouldn't be having witnessed your parents' murders and then being, you know, like, raised in the system and having Alfred and all that kind of stuff. Like, and then always having this looming legacy that's just constantly over you, where you don't want that life, but you know, like you have to do something. So it's just like a really great way of portraying, like, yeah, I don't think I would be mentally right if I had witnessed that at such a young age and gone all of that. And I think like it's such a well done thing. Like, he's literally bleeding into the character. He's like no longer Bruce Wayne. He's not Bruce Wayne in this movie. He's the Batman. Because even when he's Bruce Wayne, he's, that's just his mask, right? Bruce Wayne is his mask. So he's got to learn to use Bruce Wayne as an advantage. And I think at the end of this movie, that's what he's realizing. He can use these in a different way. It doesn't have to be all about vengeance and beating people senseless. It can be like making real change. So inspiring. That's the whole thing, inspiring. So Robert Pattinson, wow. Wow, bro. Thank you. You took this serious. You did a phenomenal job.
Are a Batman.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. There's like Michael Keaton, and then there's, I'm sorry, I don't even want to get into that because people will be like, oh, la, la, la. And, you know, there's just too many opinions out there. And but I absolutely loved Robert Pattinson as the Batman.
So are you going to like Robert Pattinson if he comes back as like a
what does that mean?
I don't know how to word it. Like, you know how, you know, to me you have your Batman that's like your darker Robert Pattinson, and then you have your kind of, I'm gonna call him Playboy Batman, right?
Christian Bale.
Well, yes, Christian Bale.
Oh, no, all right, so here's the thing I love about that is Robert Pattinson, I feel, has led the billionaire lifestyle. Like, in Tenet, he's a billionaire's, well, it depends on if you consider the theories, but he's wearing he knows how to dress wealthy. He knows how to act wealthy, yeah. Right? He did that in Tenet. There's another movie called Metropolis, I think it is, or something like that. I haven't seen it, but he plays a billionaire in the back of a limo, and he's, you know, an early 20s billionaire or whatever. So, like, I guarantee dude's got the style, dude's got the acting chops. He knows how to act fancy. He'll know how to pull that off. He knows how to be charming. So I think he's going to be able to play a not a dark, brooding Bruce Wayne. Like, he's going to change. Obviously, when he's, like, alone or working with Alfred, he's going to be like, you know. But when he's out in public, he's going to be like, a drunk idiot, who knows. And, you know, hopefully, you know, it'll be fun. I think it's going to be
– okay.
I feel like that's how they are going to do it. Like, I mean, he's got to learn how to play both characters. Like, it's essential. Well, yeah. Like, he does things as both. So.
And I figured you would have that response, but I just wanted to make sure that that's what I'm hoping for, is for a more upbeat Batman. Don't be wrong. This Batman was sweet.
He's like Spider-Man Batman, like, where he's like, hey, man, how's it going? Like, dancing all around. Swinging from rooftop to rooftop. Hey, what's up, neighborhood? How's it going? You know? You want him like that?
No.
All right. No, I still want him to be like, when he's the Batman, he's like, no nonsense.
Oh, 100%. You know? Yeah.
But
yeah, yeah.
When he's in that other character. Yep, absolutely. Yes. I agree.
So that is my only thing. And I just, not that I don't care, you know what I mean? Well, but at the same time, I mean, he played that character well. He sold me on that character. You know, I mean, now, I'm off right there. So.
There is another way you could do it. I mean, you do have, like, other iterations where, like, Bruce Wayne is more, I don't want to say, like, in the shadows or like, a private life, but he hosts parties all the time. He hosts fundraisers all the time. And maybe isn't as, like, in the tabloids as Christian Bale's Batman is, like, where he's, like, falling into fountains of women or taking them on a yacht and all that kind of stuff, where he's, like, making headlines as Bruce Wayne, where, you know, like, say, like, a Michael Keaton isn't really necessarily making headlines, but he's still hosting fundraisers and donating and doing stuff. You know what I mean? So it could be an in-between. It could be all sorts of different things. Who knows? But I know he'll have to be a more public Batman. I mean, Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
So. All
right.
They did the Riddler fantastic. They did all the villains fantastic. They really, like, did this really fun thing because, like, the Batman's literally watching, like, the Penguin, like, deal drugs, and he's not doing anything about it because there's bigger fish to fry. He's there for a different purpose. Like, it's you have, like, your economy, right? So, like, things have to happen, whatever, blah blah blah. You'll get to that eventually, but let's stay on target, right? So it's like,
yeah, absolutely.
So I was like, yeah, I see what you're doing. You're on my list.
Yeah.
But I'll let not you yet. Go for right now. Not yet.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Not yet.
So it's just really exciting. And then another thing another real quick thing that I really love is the fact is the Riddler being put in a jail, and I know, like, there's, you know, that they're alluding to this other prisoner being an interesting clown, maybe the, you know, Gotham's prince clown or whatever. But the cool thing about the prison stuff is that they get to talking. And they get the scheming. And these are the best of schemers. And a trilogy of, I put Riddler in the jail, and now he's talking with the Clown Prince. And then they're now getting other villains together to stop the Batman. This trilogy is going to be insane. It could be.
Like, crazy good.
Yeah, like the third movie could just be like Batman going to war. I'm just kidding. But it's gonna be phenomenal. Robert Pattinson, seriously though, thank you.
Yeah.
I just absolutely loved it, man. The scene where in like the subway or whatever, where they're chasing that man down, and he just like walks through the puddles, and that music starts coming on, and you're just like, "Hell yeah, here we go, baby!" Yep. And then real quick too, the scene where he's walking through and like the gunfire, like it's completely dark, and you see just the gunfire.
Thank you for bringing that up.
One of the coolest scenes I've ever seen. Also, all done with practical effects, like real like muzzle flashes and all that stuff to actually light it up.
Yeah, it's crazy. Do you know the director who did that Batman was the director that did a Star Wars too, right? He did a Star Wars. Remember the scene where I forget who it was. Was it with the lightsaber though? To where the entire scene is lit up around. Wait, was it the director? Hold on, not the director. The special effects guy?
Oh, maybe.
I forget his name. But anyway, sorry. I just that's one of the videos I watched. This was just a small little detail.
Yeah, but I'm gonna look this up real quick because he's done the Planet of the Apes series.
You talking about the director?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's done a bunch of other stuff, but not a Star Wars movie.
Might be,
I'm not kidding. That is true.
Well, that's true.
Matt Reeves has not done that, but maybe whatever you're talking about, like somebody in the crew, somebody like in the special effects company that they used, maybe worked on a Star Wars movie.
I can't remember now. I really can't remember. I had his name. I should have put in my show notes, but I didn't. But anyways, yeah.
What a cool scene.
If you haven't watched it yet. Yes.
If you haven't watched The Batman yet, it's amazing. It's fantastic. It's well worth I sat through it twice, and I didn't have to pee. I was intrigued the entire time. I loved it. And it's not all that dark all the time. There is certain kind of relief, so.
Oh, yeah. I'm not. Because that's a nice part. That's why they did so well with the Riddler and everybody else, too. Because I'm not saying like the Riddler's funny, but some of his stuff and some of his like.
Yeah,
his quirks and your quirkiness, and you know what I mean. And then get the Penguin, but anyways.
So, no, exactly. You have the Penguin, Oh yeah. I mean, even the relationship with Selina Kyle, Catwoman, and Batman. I mean, there's the whole he pulls the parachute, gets hit by a bridge or something, and takes a nasty spill. But great movie, and I cannot wait for the trilogy. So we talked about the Batman a lot longer than I thought, and that's kind of funny because it makes sense. We would have. I had a lot to say about the movie.
I didn't say I'm shocked that that's why I'm so shocked, and that's why I just let you go. You know, you have a lot of opinions on this one.
So. I love it. I thought it was fantastic. It was like the first time a realistic ground level detective Batman coming in. You know.
Yep. I agree. It was a fantastic movie. Fantastic.
So moving on.
All right. So before we get into the show, I just want to ask you one question real quick. Did you see the movie trailer for The Boys yet?
Okay. I had to actually stop it. I felt like I was seeing too much. I watched like maybe a minute and a half in. And then I was like, I'm seeing too much.
They show a lot more, just so you know. Yeah. So I did watch the entire thing. I'm very excited.
Oh, dude, I can't wait, man.
I can't wait.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, so I just wanted to make sure, because if you haven't, I wanted to bring it to your lights, your eyes, I mean, and say, hey, go watch that show, you know?
Yeah, I think I'm just going to wait, because...
It's going to be worth it.
Yeah. I
mean, that's the thing.
Sometimes they just, like, the trailers, they make too long, like...
Yeah,
but
this is the only thing though. Do you think that it could be too long, or it could be forcing you over here, and then it ends over here? You know.
I don't know. I can't wait to watch it.
I'm telling you, because all right,
yeah,
watch it. I don't want to ruin anything because it's really. I mean,
yeah, it looks crazy, looks fantastic.
Yeah.
All
right. Back to the show. Sorry.
Okay, back to the regularly scheduled program. A wonderful TV show, Ozark.
It's wrapped up.
You know what? It gets to be put on that mantle of wonderful ending. Oh, you don't feel the same? You don't feel the same about that ending there? You didn't root for the birds? You know? Spoiler. What? You don't root for the birds?
I do root for the birds.
I mean, I was definitely rooting for Ruth. Singles. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's the part that bothers me. That's the only part I don't like. Everything else I like about the rest of it. I'm not saying that by any means, right? But at the same time, that part, it just, not that like, obviously I'm still crazy about the show. I love the show, right?
Yeah.
But that part of the show just sucks.
I know. Ruth. It really, like, she's probably my favorite character. Just because she just played herself and I loved it. Like, that was Ruth, you know, and she did so much to clear her name and to go legit, and everything was falling into place. And then Miguel, or I can't remember his name, it's not good, man. Consequences, bro. Yeah, we live in a world of consequences, and
I know
you can only protect somebody so long. And Camilla targeted the right person.
No. Oh yeah.
That was a really frightening moment, because you were like, I'm like, you know, this is like the one time I've watched a show where I'm like, I just want this all to go right. I want everybody to go their own ways and this be wrapped up with a little bow, and I get to live on this happy little island. But I know that's not how this goes.
Not gonna happen.
And it was like, man, once you see Camilla walk up to the table, you're like, oh, this is not good. She plays her own game.
Oh, yeah.
So striking the fear into the birds, where they're like, if you even make eye contact, it's like, well, this sucks. This is going to be awful. And then you can't do anything. I mean, that's the worst part. So
exactly.
Had, you know, and I couldn't imagine Ruth's position. She literally had lost every single person except for three.
That's what I'm saying.
So
she went through
whole pain. Yeah. Like, so like there's so much that's been taken from her. So like, eye for an eye, like you can't see that, Camilla. Like an eye for an eye, but once like the second one, got killed, you know, like the cartel's gonna retaliate on whoever
did.
So it's like, I love it when Marty's like, "Is there a dead body in the bottom of that pool?" And her face is just like, "Maybe."
Yeah.
Maybe that's why you saw me climb out of the pool this morning, but or the early morning, whatever. I the reason why I like how it wrapped up is because it really kind of it's sick, because the ending dialogue, it couldn't explain it better. The PI is like, that's not the way the world works. And when is like, since when? Like, this is how powerful families get created and start controlling politicians and start controlling parts of the country and doing all these things. Like, these are the motions that they put in order to do these things. Like, that, like when he starts listing off those big names and he's like, that's not the way the world works. It's like, whoa, bro. What are you talking about? You just listed a bunch of names. That is how the world works. What scenario do you think you're going to get out of this? And then, man, Jonah. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, we're free. And we had 48 hours. We made it. Everything went whatever. Like, it sucks. Ruth, and I don't think the kids know yet. But it's done. Like, all hands shook. Everything's released. They're out, dude. They could literally do their own thing. Like, it literally works out. And you think this guy's going to get in the way?
No. Nope. No.
No.
Do you know this family?
Yeah, like.
who are you holding in that jar over there? You just told
Why
me?
Would you come back to the birds? That could have been you the idiot. Dumbest thing you did.
Yeah. Yep.
So. What a way to wrap things up. I really didn't know how it was going to end. Some severe casualties.
Some crazy ones. Some insane ones. I'm telling you, and it was pretty, like, and that's one thing I liked about the show, because it was still suspenseful. There's obviously killing and deaths in the show.
Oh my god,
But to me, it's also not overpowering enough to where it's like a sick amount. Like, you know, even like when Darlene kills her first husband, right? Even when she does that, it's like it was obviously, you know what happened, but it was just a very simple scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
She made his cup of coffee, took him out to the woods, and let him.
Think about the body count, because Marty killed that dude in his basement, or not his basement, but that dude's basement.
Oh yeah. The creature.
Yep, and then Darlene also killed that driver that drove Ruth. then she killed the KC Mafia.
Yep.
She
shot dude in the
junk.
Sorry, I just have to put that out there.
Yeah. Then ridiculous. Ruth has killed one, right? Because she hasn't killed anyone else. Right?
Well, one, and then the other girl killed the other guy. So I guess really not. So that's not Ruth.
Right,
both of the cartel, right?
Yeah. So then you had the cartel. I mean, you had Helen. What's her face? Darlene killed that first Mexican cartel drug lord in the first season. Remember?
Oh yeah, shot him right in the face.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, she's a loose cannon, man.
She's a loose cannon, bro. She lasted as long as she did.
Right. So we watched. We just finished it last night, and we watched the 30-minute thing of a farewell to Ozark.
Gotcha, me too. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was like really funny, because they were talking about like the whole thing of Wyatt and Darlene, and there's like in the writers' room, we kind of started off as a joke, and then it was like, well, could we like. Let's try it. And she's like, it was very bold. Very, very bold. Yeah. It's a little weird, actually.
Remember in that 30-minute thing, too, when they asked, what's the character's name who actually played Darlene's new husband?
Wyatt?
Wyatt.
I don't know who actually played.
Gotcha. But did you hear what he said in that thing? He said, he's like, he calls me, he goes, and I laugh for 2 minutes straight.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. He laughed for 2 minutes straight. And then
it's so funny. All right. Like, dude, that is hilarious. Yep. Yeah. It's happening. So,
right. It is what it is, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So, what an interesting lady, that Darlene. Oh, Darlene Snow was nuts.
Nuts. See, then you also got to think about. So then both of those guys, Pat, die, right? And then you got to think. And then Ben, he died.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, if there is, I mean, the count is high.
Yeah, body count gets super high. Marty has that one dude killed in the prison, and that he watches. All right. So one of my favorite moments, and I kind of wish it went a little bit longer, was Marty actually being the leader of a drug cartel.
Oh, I know.
I was like, holy shit. Yeah. It's like, yeah. I could do it. I'm like, get the hell out of here. And literally, he like, yeah, dude, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And he's still wrong. So assertive. Yeah, but you know what, though? The guy still skimmed the books. And Omar Navarro never let that stand anyways.
Well, so absolutely. Yeah, I'm just saying.
But for he figures it out at least. Unfortunately, Wendy took the lead on that one, and Camilla.
Wendy
was
constantly
her own
is
game.
In the show is the always the. she has big parts, but then she's always the stupid one too. I mean, I'm not saying that, but
they did pull it off.
They did. Which is
incredible. I mean, I love the Ruth saying, "Hey, there's always a job for you here," and Jonah's like, I figure I'm going to get through high school first, and then we'll go from there. Like, yeah, it's not a bad idea. You've done a lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's still doing more, as you can see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it probably inspired by Buddy in that sense. Yeah. It's like, Buddy taught me a few things. Taught him how to shoot.
This is one.
Yep. This is one. This is one thing Buddy taught me.
Uh-huh.
What a, like, crazy way to go out, though. Actually, like, not by 100%, you know, by, I'd say, like, 60%, you know, like,
yeah,
almost every person the birds came in contact or partnered with wound up dead, man, and that's freaking wild, you know, like,
it is wild. At
a certain point, you're like, man, like, you're a disease, you're just eating away at other people's lives, you're just destroying people's lives, man.
Yeah.
And it's I know that weighs on Marty, but it's an amazing how Wendy can just be like, oh no, we need to do this, 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 and this. But you take her kids away, and she will shut down.
Yeah.
But I get it. That's like the ultimate defeat. Like, your kids are no longer with you. You no longer have it together. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. What a wonderful set of characters that we got. Oh, okay. Not to mention all the Langmores. Langmore, Ruth's dad.
Yeah.
Ruth's uncles. And then Wyatt. So that's like 1, 2, 3, 4 right there.
Huh?
And Darlene herself.
Yeah. Oh, she became one.
Yeah, right. Like, this body count for 4 seasons is like, holy crap.
Man. Yeah, a lot. Because that's something that I don't think that... I mean, Breaking Bad obviously had a huge body count.
Yeah, I wonder...
I wonder what, like, the comparison one. But, I mean, if you think about it, though, like, there's a couple of shootouts in that... In Breaking Bad, like, full-blown shootouts.
Mm-hmm.
With some cartel members and parties out there.
Oh yeah, especially when they get mixed up with those like white nationalist people with Todd.
Yeah, and those freaks. What about at the very end with the gun, bro?
Oh yeah, when the trunk pops open, dude, that was incredible.
That was the best. It's the best fucking scene.
Breaking back. Come on.
Sorry.
Oh. So yeah, good, dude. But this kind of puts that up on that.
That's what I was going to say. Comparing the two, don't be wrong, Breaking Bad is still here for me. But, dude, this Ozark, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's really crept up there for me. There's something they say in that 30-minute thing where, like, they're like, if it wasn't Jason Bateman, you'd have a tough time because Jason is so likable, and that bleeds over into Marty. Like, Marty is so likable, and Wendy can be very cold and unlikable. So, like, if you had these two characters that were very similar to, like, Wendy's style, you wouldn't be rooting for the birds. But ultimately, you want to see Marty and the two kids, like, make it through, like.
Oh, absolutely.
When that van flipped over and Wendy was, like, not moving, I'm like, get the hell out of here. Like, that's like this a Cersei killing, right? Like, a few pieces of rubble hit Cersei in the head and, like, that's it? That's
it?
There's no redemption of that. And then to see something like happen to Wendy, like, I'm like, if Wendy's getting her comeuppance, that's going to be a more serious thing, though, of course.
Now, am I wrong or right about this? Did we pre-see that?
Yeah, so I think in the first episode we see the kids, because that was kind of like the fun part, like knowing that the grandpa was trying to take these kids, and I'm like, well, something happens to that grandpa, because when we start, all the kids are together, and we haven't gotten to that scene yet when it flips, so like they have to at some point come back together, and I really liked the way they did that, because not only did Ruth forced the truth to the kids. So it wasn't even like the grandpa could blame anything else other than him being a piece of crap drunk who's really just out to make Wendy's life hell, not to take the kids, right? Like, that was the great part about what Ruth did. She forced the truth out. And then that way the kids could see, like, okay, maybe mom's not completely lying about grandpa. Maybe mom's not completely in the wrong about certain things. And when they visit her and she comes up, I was like, man, there's so many truths happening right now when Ruth visits Wendy in the hospital.
Oh, she's, yes.
She becomes truthful about if she never took Ben out. And it's true, you know. Yep. He could potentially still be alive. But then also, like, Wendy becoming clean and and talking, I was like, oh, they really are wrapping this up. You know, I'm like, yeah, anything crazy. Can happen. Everybody's having moments. Like, I'm like, I'm freaking out here.
Dude, it was phenomenal. Like, that's yeah. simply put, I mean, I can keep going on and on and on about the show, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah, I really think it's like a discussion-worthy TV show because I every season amped up the ante, right? So the first season, yeah, you know the stakes. Like, they're involved in the cartel and he's exactly. laundering money. So you know the stakes, but it's very ground level. He's going through local businesses, owning them, and laundering through them. Then the second season, it gets a bit more complicated. They're starting to buy up land and then do this casino thing. Season three, then you're incorporating the cartel. They're really, like, facilitating bigger and bigger things. They're wanting to build that life after all of this once they get everything yes. automated. And season four is just like, let's get to that ending point. And very easily, this could have become a show of where they got to that end point and then something drags them back in. Something gets them back in the cartel. Something gets them more involved. And it's like, it becomes repetitive and it becomes like there's this never-ending thing. And like, to actually end something is just, it's great. It's, thank you. We greatly appreciate it.
Yes. I mean, and you said it perfectly.
Yeah.
You because it ended perfectly. Yeah. With my complaint about the how it ended, it wasn't towards the way anything happened with the birds.
Right. It's right. No. Ruth. It's that's Ruth. The part. It's that's Ruth, the only man. Part.
So, anyways, I just want to reiterate that it is not anything besides that.
Yeah. At the end, when she even gets out of her car and she like looks in the SUV, and I'm like, she's so ballsy. She's so brave. She works it up to where she's just like, or when she gets out of the car in the rain at the sheriff's station, she goes and flips off the car. Like,
yeah.
Like, she will hide the fact that she's frightened and just go for it because, like, that's her best move. That's her best move to get out in front of it, get out and be that bigger person. Maybe she can bark at them and get them to stand down. And it's just, it sucks because, like, damn consequences of like killing some cartel members and perhaps like the nephew of the cartel leader, you know, not great.
But if you actually think about it, at the time, remember, he actually gave up the power to him too, so technically he was actually the sitting in runner of the cartel because the kid was in prison and gave
so she killed the leader of the cartel.
Yeah, right, if you think about it in the grand scheme of everything, and then the person that replaced
there's consequences for that apparently is his mom. So don't go out on your own, start killing cartel members. There's gonna be consequences. I did tell Jessica that now that we're like on we finished Ozark and like the cartel edge is in there. We need to watch season three of Narcos and wrap that up. Because that's the last season of Narcos as well. So once we do that, that's another thing off the list. So
nice.
Get her done. Now, if anybody has any comments on Ozark or the Batman, please let us know. Drop comments down below or send us a message. Our email address is down below, but it's cktalkaboutnothing@gmail.com. Or
you could tweet us at CoreyKevin1.
Yeah. So let us know what you thought about Ozark, what you thought about the Batman. Also, if you have a movie, if you're a filmmaker and you have something that you'd like us to watch and kind of review, send it our way. We are very open. We've seen all sorts of movies. This podcast is really kind of open the door, Pandora's box of movie. Once you hit Mandy, I feel like you know,
you hit a lot.
Yeah, you you know, you kind of could go in many directions. So I feel like there was I don't remember the exact name, but there was somebody on Twitter who sent us a link of their movie on YouTube. So I'd like us to watch that, and we can kind of just talk about that.
Cool, tomorrow.
And I'm excited. Whatever else. Yeah. All right. Well, you got anything else for us?
No, I don't.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for watching.
Thank you for listening.
And have a wonderful day.
See you.